Good morning, and welcome to the Presbyterian Church of Floyd. This is Reverend Bob McLavey welcoming you to our time together. This morning, I'm going to have a message about prayer. It's an important aspect of our life. If we truly are committed to following Jesus and being in relationship with Jesus, and so we're going to look at what the Gospel of Luke has to tell us about prayer, and it's going to be in the words of Jesus himself. And then we have a wonderful song that Alan Vest has prepared for us today. He's going to do an a cappella version of It Is Well With My Soul. So I hope you'll enjoy our time together and that God's Word will touch your hearts. So let us begin with a word of prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for this time that we have together with you, hearing your Word proclaimed, worshiping with music, and reflecting on what it means to be in relationship with you. So we pray now that you will open our hearts and our minds and help us, Lord, to truly learn from your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I have entitled this morning's message, Let Us Pray. And it is indeed Jesus responding to his disciples' request for him to teach them how to pray. So hear now the word of the Lord from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." And Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. To the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of your fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the word of the Lord. What if the purpose of prayer is knowing God and not necessarily getting answers? Today I want to ask the question, why do we pray? Now I know some of you are thinking that that's a ridiculous question. I hope you will bear with me, because part of what I want to do is to challenge you to look to your motivation in praying. Most everybody prays when they are desperate. You know, the idea is that in life we all get to some point where we realize that we are scared or we're desperately in need of something, and so we go to God in prayer. Sometimes we just want something so badly that we pray for God to do us a special favor. My favorite, of course, is making a plan and then asking God to bless it. Well, the premise that I want to put forth today is that according to God's Word, our entire lives are intended to be lived with an attitude of prayer. It is having an attitude of absolute dependence on God, needing to be in communication with God throughout the day as we lead our normal lives. And if you look at what the Bible shows us about prayer, it will reveal that the heart of prayer is about recognizing every moment of the day that we are completely dependent on God. I want to prove this to you by taking a look at the life of Jesus. Luke records more prayers of Jesus than any of the other Gospels. And if Jesus is our model and our mentor in prayer, we should learn from his example about what is at the heart of prayer. Now, Jesus prayed in total dependence on God. At the beginning of Jesus' ministry, we see that immediately after he was baptized, Jesus was praying. We see that in Luke chapter 3. And it's in Luke chapter 5 that everybody is coming to see Jesus. But listen to what Luke tells us about his source of strength. It says, "But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed." In Luke 6, Jesus is about to call the 12 disciples. And what does he do before he chooses them? It says, "One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God." In Luke 9, we have the account of Peter's confession that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. And this is a very significant moment in the disciples' training. Right before that, I want you to hear what Jesus was doing. It says in verse 18 of Luke 9, "Once when Jesus was praying in private and his disciples were with him, he asked them, 'Who do the crowds say I am?'" And later in the same chapter, at the Transfiguration, the purpose for Jesus getting alone with Peter, John, and James was prayer. It says, "He took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray." In Luke 18, we find Jesus teaching the disciples about persistence in prayer. It says, "Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up." Finally, one of the most well-known instances of Jesus praying is when he went to Gethsemane, to the Garden of Gethsemane, right before his arrest and crucifixion. Yes, this is one of the most familiar of Jesus' prayers to many of us, and this comes from Luke 22, verses 40 through 42. It says this, "On reaching the place, he said to them, 'Pray that you will not fall into temptation.' He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down, and prayed, 'Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done.'" So here is the question. Why was Jesus always praying? Or maybe a deeper question, when you look at Jesus' life and ministry in the Gospels is this. Why did he do on his own what he was always turning to God in prayer for? You know, and that would lead us to ask the question, what could Jesus do on his own apart from prayer? Well, the answer, according to Scripture, is absolutely nothing. We know from the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse 19, it says, he said, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing. And in John 5, verse 30, it says, by myself, I can do nothing. So that really begs the question, if Jesus, God in the flesh, would say, I can do nothing by myself, then who are you and I to think that there is anything in our Christian lives that we can do on our own? This is why the disciples came to Jesus and asked him to teach them to pray. It's not that they had never been taught to pray. They knew to pray in the synagogue and on the Sabbath, and they knew to pray in various circumstances, and they knew how to follow religious rituals. But they saw in Jesus something very different. They saw in his life something more than just a religious ritual. Prayer was something that literally nourished him. It was a necessity for him, and his life was dependent on it. The disciples saw the difference, and they said, Lord, teach us to pray like you're praying. The early church prayed in total dependence on God. It wasn't just Jesus who emphasized praying all the time. The early church followed his example. When the apostles had been persecuted by the Sanhedrin, they didn't get together and complain about how hard it was to be a Christian. No, they prayed. When Peter was imprisoned, what was the church's response? It was prayer. And when the church at Antioch wanted to make the gospel known in all nations, how did they start? They started by praying. When they needed leaders in the new churches, what did they do? It says in Acts chapter 14 that Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord, in whom they had put their trust. So do you sense a pattern here? In your life, is prayer essential or is it optional? How does prayer enter into your everyday living? You know, you don't see the disciples asking Jesus to teach them to witness or to teach or even to heal. All you see is them saying, teach us to pray, because prayer is the core upon which our faith is dependent. Jesus responds to the disciples' request to teach them to pray by starting with how to address God. We begin by saying, Father. Prayer begins with a relationship with God. And the primary purpose of prayer is to deepen that relationship. Most of us grow up thinking about prayer and seeing prayer as asking for things. We learn to pray by saying, God, help me with this, or God, give me this, or God, bless me with this, or God, protect me. And I'm sure that most of us could tell about a time when we prayed hard for something and we didn't get the answer that we wanted. It may have been a prayer for healing. It may have been a prayer to get a job or to have a relationship restored. And no matter how hard we prayed, the answer just didn't come. Well, we began to wonder, am I asking in the wrong way? Is my faith not strong enough? Is God ignoring me because he's not pleased with me? Well, in response to that line of thinking, I want to ask two questions. What if the purpose of prayer is knowing God and not getting answers? It's not that asking for what we want and bringing our needs before God is not a part of prayer, because it is. But what if prayer was intended to be much more than that? What if prayer wasn't just asking God to bless us or to keep us or protect us? What if there's a depth of prayer that is much beyond that? Do you remember what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount about prayer? When he said in Matthew chapter 6, "When you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask him." Yes, those are the words of Jesus. He says, don't be like the pagans. Don't babble. It doesn't matter how many words you speak, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So some of us would say, well then, if that's the case, what's the point? If he already knows everything, what's the point of praying? Well, if that's the question that we're asking, then I think we're on the verge of breaking through into what prayer is really all about. What if God doesn't tell us to bring all of our needs to him so that we can inform him? He doesn't need to be informed. What if he already knows? But maybe there's something deeper that he has in store for us when we come to him in prayer. What if the reason he told you to go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen is that there is a closeness God intends to take place in this thing called prayer, and we will miss it if we make it all about a list of things that we want to ask him about? One writer put it this way, "We are not desperate for something, we are desperate for someone." This is the heart of prayer. What if God has designed this whole thing called prayer for you ultimately to enjoy him and to enjoy being with him and to experience his goodness and his grace and his mercy personally, in a way that nothing else can even begin to compare? What if the priority of prayer is time, not talk? Yes, time spent in the presence of God. Jesus is showing us why he was constantly talking with God the Father. It was because there was an intimacy that happened when he was alone with the Father in prayer that would affect every single thing he did. And Jesus teaches us that in order to develop that kind of intimacy with God, we need to set a specific time alone with the Father. God has designed prayer as the means for you and for me to be involved in what he is doing in the world. The power of prayer is in relationship. If in our praying we connect with the living God, who is the Lord and Creator of the universe, then we will be connected to a power that is infinite and unstoppable. God is the one who has all power. The way we connect with that power is through surrender. And by surrender, I don't mean showing weakness, No, by surrender I mean that our attitude reflects that of Jesus in Gethsemane. We pour out our hearts and ask God for what we want, but ultimately we say, "Yet not my will, but your will be done." That is surrender, and it grows out of a relationship of absolute trust. As we recognize our desperate need for God, and as we seek to know Him better and better, we will grow to understand that His plan is always the best plan, and we will grow to the point of surrender to His will in all things. And that's where life gets exciting, because that is where God begins to use us. So this morning I want to close by sharing with you a passage out of Richard Foster's book entitled Prayer, Finding the Heart's True Home. Richard Foster, of course, is a contemporary expert in the subject of spiritual formation, of how we draw closer to God. And in his book on prayer, he begins with this introduction entitled Coming Home, An Invitation to Prayer. And he says this, "God has graciously allowed me to catch a glimpse into His heart, and I want to share with you what I have seen. He longs for our presence, and He is inviting you and me to come home to where we belong, to come home to that for which we were created. His arms are stretched out wide to receive us. His heart is enlarged to take us in. For too long we have been in a far country, a country of noise and hurry and crowds, a country of climb and push and shove, a country of frustration and fear and intimidation. And He welcomes us home, home to serenity and peace and joy, home to friendship and fellowship and openness, home to intimacy and acceptance and affirmation. We do not need to be shy. He invites us into the living room of His heart, where we can put on old slippers and share freely. He invites us into the kitchen of His friendship, where chatter and batter mix in good fun. He invites us into the dining room of His strength, where we can feast to our heart's delight. He invites us into the study of His wisdom, where we can learn and grow and stretch and ask all the questions that we want. He invites us into the workshop of His creativity, where we can be co-laborers with Him, working together to determine the outcomes of events. He invites us into the bedroom of His rest, where new peace is found and where we can be free." So friends, indeed, this is what prayer is about. Let prayer become so commonplace in our lives that we can casually say to a friend, "You know, I was just talking with God." So indeed, let us now talk with God. Let us pray. Dear God, I am so grateful for your invitation to enter your heart of love. As best I can, I come in. Thank you for receiving me. Amen. And now, friends, let us enjoy the beautiful hymn that has been prepared for us today by Alan Vest. This is "It Is Well With My Soul," a song written by Philip Bliss, today arranged and sung by Alan Vest, and he will be singing a cappella. Here is it is well with my soul.
When peace like a river attended my way, when sorrow like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul, it is well.
Thanks to Alan for that great rendition of It Is Well With My Soul. Now, friends, as we look forward to this next week, let us take some time to just be with God. Let us take some time to be in that thing that we know as prayer, a time when really we don't have to be asking for anything. We merely are in the presence of God. And yes, how wonderful it is to know that God welcomes us into that very personal space where we can just be with Him. Have a wonderful week ahead, and thank you for listening.